The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Definitely live for you in the privacy of my office at home and bringing you the most updated and important information that you could possibly think that existed. So that's why we're here. That's why we're doing what we're doing. In the world of COVID and the world of, you know, starting to get out and doing things differently, there's all kinds of things that we keep skipping over. And we want to make sure that you have that data so you wonder, you know, your wonderment of how the body heals is actually put in front of you and you can get things in a better perspective, a better order. So what am I talking about? Well, we're going to have a very interesting subject for you today, and it's on how the brain controls the rest of your body, how your heart works and how your breathing is maintained and the balance that you have. You know, sometimes you feel clumsy and you have difficult with coordination. You stumble around. Sometimes you feel your heart beating out of your chest. Sometimes you just feel depleted or you can't get out of a chair. And what's that all about? And joint pain across the line. You know, we see patients on an ongoing basis who come in with varied symptomological presentations, and everything from very unstable platforms, meaning when you're walking around, you're having to hold on to things and you think it's old age and you wonder where it came from. Sometimes vision disturbances and hearing changes, and your cognitive patterns start showing up differently, like you walk into the kitchen and something distracts you just for a second. You forgot why you were in the kitchen. And, you know, so, well, you're getting older or you're getting demented or all those things. Well, you know, maybe, but it's usually not as a result of old age. As I've said many times, it is a result of neglect over a period of time or putting injury aside, thinking, well, it's not that bad. So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to put it into a little personal presentation for you, because many of you have reached out and have said, hey, Dr. Tom, you know, what's going on with you? Some of you heard that, you know, there was a little bit of a bump and a lump that took place a few months back, and that was continued with the in-house, my head meeting the floor. Well, those things are all true. So I'm going to walk you through that, since I have a personal, you know, interest and experience in this. Obviously, when things happen to any of us, we start doing all kinds of research, even though these are things that I've treated for over four decades of clinical practice. But it brought my focus into a place where, are there other things I can do for other people? Because I'm doing them for myself right now and pulling myself out of this. And after the first injury, people said, you know, Dr. Tom, you need to retire. You need to, you know, think about, you know, scaling it down. Well, my brain says, no, let's not retire. Let's get better. Let's figure out what we can do to help other people. And that's basically what I've been on a journey to do. So let me take you through and tell you what I'm talking about, because a lot of you are sitting there saying, huh, what's going on? What happened? Well, back in March, going to my dental appointment, I got out on the street because my dental office was closed, and I was basically sitting at the light, red light, curbside, and out of nowhere, I've got my brake on and my hand on the steering wheel, and I reach over to get a cup of tea that was sitting into the holder, and some young lady decides to plow into the rear end of my car at about 45 miles an hour without any braking, anything else. And, you know, fortunately, I drive a very heavy car, but nevertheless, obviously my tea went all over the place and, you know, my head snapped back. I could feel my head just snap right back hard onto my neck. And I said, okay, I've had other problems and here we go again. And I said, you've got to be kidding me, right? So I got out of the car. And this young girl, unfortunately, you know, her car was annihilated. She's bloody. Both of her airbags imploded and she's got her cell phone in her hand. So, you know, the scenario, she wasn't paying attention, unfortunately. So the ambulances come and the like, and the police officer said, well, let them check you out. And I said, no, I have the best insurance in the world. And they said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm a chiropractor and I've got, 23 employees. I walk into the office and they'll do a good job, which they do a miraculous job, and they took good care of me. But what I noticed from that point on is that I started noticing a little bit of heart misfiring, a little bit of fibrillation. And I've been around long enough, back in the day, let me tell you what it's like. Back in the day when you were either in high school or college, or you were prepping for some test for a promotion or whatever, sometimes we pulled all-nighters, right? You were there for 2-3 nights and not getting a lot of sleep and drank too much coffee or tea. And you noticed that your heart was misfiring a little bit. It was that type of sensation, but it wasn't there all the time. It was just coming and going. So I didn't think too much about it. So about 5 weeks later, 5 to 6 weeks later, I'm in the office doing a new patient examination with a very lovely person who happened to be a nurse practitioner. And we're chatting, talking, not thinking too much about anything. I hadn't slept well the night before. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the next thing I know, no warning, no prodromal, is I'm on my back on the floor. Somebody's holding my head and I have a paramedic squad sitting next to me, getting ready to transport me to the hospital. And when I say there was no warning, there was no warning. My heart rate was in bradycardia. It was down around my toenails, and they take me to the hospital. And apparently I've got a very hard head. I hit the floor with no obstruction stopping me, just went right down. So now I got a major concussion, but I also had superimposed injury, on injury. So anyway, short end of a long story was that they couldn't find any damage to anything except there was a little misfiring within the ventricular chambers, but as the doctors told me, I didn't fit the model, meaning that I wasn't taking any medications, I didn't have any heart damage, there was no other predisposing situations. But here's the situation, and the reason I'm bringing this up is that this was initiated, predisposed, if you will, from an injury that took place about 6 weeks before that. And so it started affecting the lower portion of the brainstem. And that's where your automatic reflexes come from. So why am I telling you all this? Because everybody had asked, what's going on, Dr. Tom? And so I am, full disclosure, telling you what's been happening to me over the last, several months. But we're back, we're working, I'm seeing patients, and I'm getting treated on, as I would tell anybody, get treated multiple times a week and doing extremely well. They had a coup in my office and cut my hours back a bit, but nevertheless, I'm still there. So, but when you suddenly start noticing this spinning feeling or loss of balance when, things are moving, but you're not moving, kind of a vertiginous problem, a lightheadedness, a floating, a rocking sensation. Sometimes your heart starts misfiring. Sometimes, you notice that you're just clumsy, the tendency to, just kind of guide yourself to touch something. And then you end up with muscle and joint, pain. And that's often due to the imbalance that's taking place, but it's also as a result of other situations that are building up. And then I get into, doing the research and say, okay, this stuff, but make sure that you're right. And so when you really understand the ramifications of what we call a hyperextension injury of the neck, the cervical spine, sometimes the symptoms remain elusive because the traditional neurological community doesn't look at it as, unless you can't walk and you're paralyzed, unless you lose your eyesight immediately, unless your heart stops on the scene, the slight irritations over a long period of time that build up into something that's much more significant are often ignored. So, the symptoms following a soft tissue injury, and this is what they call a soft tissue injury. Why? Because there's no fracture, there's no dislocation, there's just compression and swelling. I have to bring this piece into it. There's a lot of low speed collision injuries of that portion of the spine can do significant damage to ligament structure. Now it becomes very unstable. Back in the day, there's a guy that started my specialty in applied kinesiology, Dr. George Goodhart. And he did research with a group of neurologists out of Boston Medical Center, and they were looking at people who were paralyzed. And what they found is that small injuries and severe injuries, obviously, that would cause paralysis, were joined and accompanied by the buildup of something called arachidonic acid within the cord. See, most paralysis that you end up with, somebody has a blow, they don't sever the cord. They injure the cord where there's swelling, there's infiltration of fat and different types of things. So it alters the neurological transmission to different parts of the body. And there's an aberrance, an abnormal signaling that takes place. You know, so when you see these types of injuries, the ones that slowly build up over a period of time, causing very significant distortion, they can be positional. They could be you bumped your head on the car a dozen times. When you were a kid, you were playing sports. You played soccer and you're using your head to bat the ball around with. You've had several car accidents, even though that they were minor, they accumulate. The body remembers injury. And, you know, there's an interesting set of articles that were published in the European Spine Journal back in 2009 and the symptom profiles of patients. And this goes to the Norwegian population was the one that was studied, and what this really showed and how they came about, and these hyperextension, hyperflexion patterns that affect the central nervous system, and they're far reaching lesions, meaning that they have many different effects within the body. And there's a dispute ongoingly whether or not they're from any kind of injury at all, because the evidence for significant injury to the jaw joint, if you will, in injury, the ears, you can begin to lose your hearing, the ophthalmologic system, your eye, your vision begins to become modified and so forth. Heart rate, respiratory rate, all of those things can be significantly affected by this type of problem. So when we see patients at the Results Center for Healing, me included, obviously, you have to really begin to look deeply to find out what the problem is. And you have to be treated the right way, because what happens if you don't treat them properly is now you have injury that begins to build up not only an immediate block because of swelling, inflammation, and scar tissue, but it begins to progress and you begin to see degeneration of the tissue, including the brain, over a long period of time that begins to look like a they use the term like syndrome, like a Parkinson's like syndrome, like a Alzheimer's like syndrome, like a cerebral palsy like syndrome, except now it starts later on. It's not something that's very young. Young children who have breech deliveries and they pull them out by their head and neck often have that part of the body affected. So the ramifications are huge. I mean, it's an ongoing juggernaut, if you will. It's a puzzle that you have to really look at instead of just looking at the symptom, you know, vertigo and looking at the loss of vision, looking at all those things. There are reasons that takes place because the body's all interconnected, you know, one to the other. And I'm going to get into that on a very specific basis throughout the program today, but I want to remind you that give me a call. I'd love to talk about you at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Let's talk about your stuff that just doesn't seem to go away. But we're going to talk a little bit about what happens, the effect it has on your heart and other portions of your body, your inability to walk. That kind of stuff is so critical, so important. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roszell Live. It's going to be a fun program. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Roszell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roszell Live. Indeed, I am, as always, every Sunday morning at 11. And by the way, when we're not here, when we're not doing the program, if you'd like to talk to one of the doctors at the Results Center for Healing, real simple, real easy. All you have to do is call 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. And leave a message and tell the receptionist, you know, you'd like to talk to somebody about whatever, or to make an appointment. You can do the same thing, but we'll get back to you. Or you can simply go to RoszellCare.com. That's RoszellCare.com, RoszellCare.com. And send us a note and send me a note and we'll get back to you. But if you need to have some information quickly, best way is to call and somebody will do that pretty quickly. We're talking about what happens to the body when you have injury to the upper portion of your neck and the lower portion of the spinal cord coming off the brain. And it's very significant. It's very serious. As I said in the beginning of the program, that was my experience this year in March when I had a rear end collision by a young woman who decided to plow into me at about 45 miles an hour. And there we go, cell phones again, right? And she wasn't paying attention. I was stopped at a light. But, you know, things occurred after that. And basically about 5 weeks later, the presentation began to build up and I dropped on the floor at the office and woke up with paramedics transporting me to Nova at Fairfax. Nevertheless, I'm in great shape now. I'm working. I'm doing fine, but only because of the fact that I have brilliant people around me that understand what to do with this type of thing. So how did it happen? You know, we're basically talking about something called a central cord problem, a central cord syndrome problem. And, you know, it's the spinal cord starts, you know, at the base of the brain and comes all the way down. It has 31 pairs of nerves, and these nerves go in a lot of different places and touch a lot of different areas. But also you have a nerve, one of the cranial nerves called the vagus nerve. This nerve touches everything throughout the body, every organ system. The vagus means wanderer. It wanders around and it touches everything, and it causes feedback to occur so the body can interpret what's going on, an automatic type of pattern. But it also allows the body to work the way it's supposed, particularly the areas that are life-giving, like your heart, your lungs, and so forth. So central cord syndrome is a result of a traumatic injury. It used to be they called it an incomplete trauma injury to the neck, the cervical spinal cord. But we know that bruising the reason that it's called incomplete, I better make it even a little bit clearer for you, is that it doesn't cause completed paralysis of the body. It does not completely paralyze the person, but it can cause all kinds of problems. So, This problem can come about with pre-existing arthritic changes in the neck as well. So little injuries, if you will, build up over a long period of time. So if you have an accident like I had, and it compounded on back in the day, Division I football and martial arts and other injuries, like other car accidents, you know, my neck's not a happy place. And one of the reasons I've done so well is because I have a great group of doctors around me that treat me. And I get acupuncture done on a regular basis. I get manual therapies done. I, you know, exercise. I meditate and so forth. So I try to keep my body well. And those of you who know me, my diet's probably 90% the way it's supposed to be all the time. So I try the best I can do ongoingly. So when you have a central cord syndrome, which basically this is what, and it can happen because of a car accident. It can be because of a major head trauma, a fall. There's usually no break or fracture within the bones of the neck. And so it's difficult on initial evaluation for it to be noticed. So the spinal cord basically is squashed, and it can be vertically or it can be in a hyperflexion, hyperextension. Often there's bruising is the primary consideration. Sometimes there's bleeding and swelling that can occur. And, you know, but the central portion of the spinal cord is where there's injury. And then there's build up something called a serex at some point. And the serex is it's like a cystic formation, but it's not. It's just a stopping of the movement of spinal fluid within the spine. And when that takes place in the central portion of the cord, it can affect arm movement and muscle function. And if it goes, you know, into the legs more towards the outside of the cord, you know, the many different patterns of functional motion can take place. So diagnosing a central cord problem is critical if you're going to be able to help the patient. And it can, much can be done. Patients typically complain of weakness in the upper extremities and the arms. This is usually first. And then severe weakness is the lower extremity as time goes on. The weakness may result with, you know, everyday types of tests, like even standing up, okay, and doing your buttons. You lose the dexterity in your fingers, or writing, even walking, lack of sensation. Sometimes it's difficult to even start urination, and it's not because of swollen prostate or other problems, and sometimes it's not being able to hold it as well, and you see more leakage that way. You know, the syndrome progressively without known injury usually affects people over the age of 50. That's why they say, well, it's because you're getting older. That's what happens to older people. Not necessarily so, my friends. That's not the case. And, you know, the interesting thing is that it affects men far more than women. Maybe that's another reason that women are living longer. But we're going to talk about that much more specifically. But more importantly, what you can do to fix it. Give us a call at 888-630-9625. Love to take your phone calls. Love to talk to you on anything that you have on your mind. I'll be right back after some very important messages. Don't go away.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I am live today. Give me a call, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. We're talking about an injury pattern. It's called central cord syndrome. And yours truly, unfortunately, is the recipient of that, and because of multiple injuries over the years, but because of something that took place over the last several months, starting with a rear-end collision, being hit 45 miles an hour while sitting at a stoplight, and then ultimately dropping because it caused an irregular beat within my heart, building up over a period of the next 5 to 6 weeks, and the ramifications of all of that and so forth. But having said that, we're going to get more into depth that we have a caller that's been waiting patiently. Diane, thank you for waiting and being patient. How can I help you?
Well, thank you for taking my call. Excuse me. I have had several severe falls. Both of them resulted in a C2 neck fracture, and they were within 18 months of one another. I have noticed some of these problems, losing my hearing. My balance is terrible. I trip over things. I even had a slight heart attack last January, yeah, where my health otherwise is very good. So I'm wondering, you know, what can I expect and what do you think I should do about all this?
Okay, so I'm going to call you my sister because you and I are, you know, playing with the same type of thing. Mine, you know, was compounded for a lot of years of injury and then this last situation. So the fact is, you know, you were blessed to the fact that you're still with us because a C2 fracture could have taken you out.
And I know that. I know.
So at the end of the day, you're not. So what can you do is the most important thing. There's actually quite a bit that can be done. You need somebody who understands positioning and understands inflammatory pathways, you know, within the nervous system and how to handle them. Because at this point, you've got the beginning stages of scarring that's taking place. You've got it's called arachidonic acid that gets into the cord and begins to basically, I'll use the term strangulation, but that's not what it is. It's a blocking of signaling that goes from that point down. So you begin to start losing control, you know, in muscular function and
right, yeah,
the automatic systems of breathing and the heart and the like. So nutritional things have to be done in our office. I'm being treated with acupuncture, low energy light laser, manual manipulation, structural adjusting, and so forth. And I'm doing really well at this point, but I've got everything around me that I need. And I've got some brilliant, brilliant doctors that are working with me. So having said that, that can be done. You're in Culpeper, is that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay, so unfortunately, I don't know anybody there that does the kind of work, but you can be helped. You can be helped on a lot of different levels. You have to start with getting rid of anything that is inflammatory that is in your dietary patterns around you. So just, and this is not finger pointing. This is just a kind of a basket of full of things, you know, like sugars and sodas and coffee and black teas and fast food, fried foods, alcohol, gluten, additives, preservatives, GMO products, things of that nature. Those are all potentially inflammatory, things that you happen to be allergic to. Those kind of things will cause swelling. Anything that causes swelling within the nervous system is going to make things much worse for you. If there's a good traditionally based acupuncturist in the Culpeper area. I used to know people down in that area, but the people that I used to do business with, one retired and one moved to Florida. We can take a look around. Obviously, our guys would be happy to evaluate you. But if slow applications. So you want to take things like N-acetylcysteine. That decreases the inflammatory response. It's a product that will decrease. You can get it at health food stores. Generally, you can take about 500 milligrams three times a day. It'll decrease the inflammatory cascade is what it's called, you know, and make things a little bit better there. There's a specific type of magnesium. It's called magnesium threonate. And that is specific for brain function and neurological function. DHA, your and other omega-3 fatty acids will also decrease the inflammatory response. Then after that, you have to get very specific based on the person, but those are things that you can do on your own that will be useful. But the combination of those things can make a huge difference over a period of time. And, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, that you're getting motion and exercise. If you begin to dampen your activity level, it'll actually get worse over a period of months and then years. One of the best ways to diagnose this is not only CAT scans and MRIs and so forth, but flexion and extension studies of the neck, where, you know, traditionally they're just going to have you're going to stand or sit and they're going to take an X-ray of your neck. You want to have the doctor bend your head forward and bend your head back so you can actually see the motion moving forward and backwards. And it assists in the evaluation of the stability of the spine. And it will show the degree of an extent of any arthritic changes that are within the spine that are making things worse. When you have an injury, you smash your head and so forth, things can build up because of pre-existing conditions. And so you have to be careful. Intermittent long axis traction, meaning not just traction in your neck, but lifting slightly with 10, 12, 14 pounds of pressure, holding it for about a minute or so and relaxing it, lifting it up and then relaxing it. That helps begin to stretch out the scar tissue and increasing circulatory patterns. There's a lot of things that can be done. You want to avoid unnecessary surgery if at all possible. Surgery for this type of thing, what they'll do, particularly if they notice any swelling, as I said earlier in the program, something called a Cyrex occurs, is they go in and then they increase the height of the disc by putting plastic discs in, then they fuse the segment. It can be right. Two or three areas, right?
And that was suggested at one point, and I said no.
Yeah, and that it can be dangerous. It depends on how, you know, I haven't examined you, so I can't tell you. For some people, there's a neurosurgeon that we use in the Washington area that I think the world of, because if I send him 10 cases for surgery, he may cut on one or two. And he tells you, once you cut, you cut. But in this particular situation, if in fact that they can show through not only imaging, but electromuscle graphing and so forth, that's where it's coming from. Often in severe cases, that they can get about a 70 to 80% chance of being about 70 to 80% better. I'm the guy that's going to always, always err to the side of conservative applications. I'm going to do everything I can, as I am doing for myself. I wouldn't tell anybody unless it was a surgical emergency. And there are times when there are surgical emergencies that you must. That's the only way that you can do it, particularly if there's huge bone formations that the injury, the trauma caused to go directly into the cord. But again, those are on a case-to-case basis. So in the short term, what I would tell you is about 4 months, 5 months of conservative care doing the things that I told you about. See if leg function begins to, you know, to return. See if, you know, you get more strength in your arms. If you have any problems with bladder or bowel function, if the heart is misfiring, see if that begins. You know, so many cases that walk into my office that are called atrial fibrillation, where the upper chambers of the heart are misfiring, are a result of not only injury, but neck degeneration that is causing the same type of central cord problem that you and I are talking about right now. So if there's anything that I can do to help you, obviously give me a call. I'll do whatever I can to put it together, but this is a serious situation. And in my opinion, with the right type of care, people can be made at least a heck of a lot better. And there's it's not a death knell, but I see way too many patients that come in with dizziness and syncope and heart misfiring, and they don't have the strength. They're losing strength in their legs and their hands and feet. And they're told there's nothing that they can do about it, or they're told the only way that we can handle this is through surgery. Not so much. I think there's a whole lot more that can be done, but it's on a one-to-one basis. I hope that helps. And if there's anything that I can do, Diane, please give us a call, and I'm happy to walk you through it. We're here at 888-630-9625, and we're talking about something called central cord problems or central cord syndrome, and it's a result of injuries and accidents and small traumas that appear over a period of many, many years, and sometimes very quickly superimposed on other damage. But you know, when you do the testing for this stuff, when you really go through the neurological examinations and the MRIs and the CAT scans and the plain X-rays and so forth, they can even show direct cord compression, you know, from bone or disc or swelling, and it can be blood swelling. It's called a hematoma. And, you know, the ligamentous and soft tissue injuries might be missed completely by other types of injury. That's what an MRI shows. So you do the MRI, and then a CAT scan, that shows bony detail. And it shows the size of the spinal canal and so forth and so on. You know, when I had an MRI done recently, and what showed up was a syrinx, you know, being who I am, after they took it, I got up and I went and I looked over the radiologist's shoulder, and I looked, I said, ah, there's a syrinx. He says, yeah, you're lucky, it's not that big. I said, well, it's big enough. And again, what a syrinx is that is a almost a cystic-like formation, if you will, but it's not really a cyst of causing spinal fluid not to be able to move properly, but it causes compression. Fortunately, mine was very central, but we're talking about a central cord problem. And because it's central, it can affect structures all the way through the body. And what happens with that swelling is it expands in the cord. And as it expands in the cord, it stops the signaling. That's where you get the weakness. That's why your body can't function. You know, the lady that we were talking to out of Culpeper was telling me, you know, that, you know, this had taken place and she broke actually the second bone in her neck, the second cervical vertebrae. That's the one that when they hang somebody, they snap. And when that thing breaks, you're not going to be here. She was lucky. She's very, very lucky. And, you know, she's still supposed to be here. So the thing of it is, can something be done to help her? Yes. There's, in my opinion, there's a lot that can be done to stem the tide and give her much better improvement than where she is right now. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Let's talk. Let's talk about your stuff. And by the way, if you want to get off topic, please do. We'll talk about all kinds of things from, you know, if you want to talk about COVID and their masks wearing and not wearing a mask or any of that stuff, ask the question. I have an opinion. I'll give you my opinion and I'll tell you where to find the data and we can go from there, right? So, you know, in a central cord problem, let's talk a little bit more about surgical intervention, because as our caller said, that was what was told to her. And by the way, when I went in and I had an evaluation done by this one neurosurgeon that I like to deal with, and because he's so conservative, he said, you know, obviously, he said, I would expect somebody in your position to have much more impairment and pain. He says, but whatever you're doing is working. I said, well, you know what I'm doing. He said, well, keep doing it. I said, let's talk about your field. He says, well, in my field, he said, you're talking about a minimum 2-level fusion and maybe 3. And he looked at me and says, you're not having any of that, are you? I said, absolutely, positively not. Not until there's nothing else that I can possibly do. But when you look at somebody like me that has the type of injury and you look at my history over a period of years, going way back to when I was a kid, you know, I played Division I football in college and traumas as a young kid going through, and then other falls and several accidents and, you know, all of those things, they build up over a period of time. And, you know, you see the wear and tear. But again, if it wasn't for the fact that I have amazing doctors around me that are taking care of me with with manual manipulation and acupuncture and low energy light laser. And, you know, I happen to live with my nutritionist, and Sue takes great care of what we eat and what goes in my body. And the fact that I probably take more nutritional supplementation than most people ever will, you know, I'm keeping things where they're going. But this last blow, this last trauma, this last injury that I took, and like I said, I was sitting there talking to a new patient, and I went down and my head just bounced off that cement floor. Nothing stopping me. So you added insult to injury. Now I've got a concussion that, you know, has superimposed itself. But neurological examination is one, you know, in the traditional world, they're looking at just the immediacy. So to find out whether or not you have, in fact, a central cord problem that is causing weakness within the system, the inability to have tactile dexterity, if you will. Obviously concussive patterns will cause, you know, memory imbalances, but your heart's flipping around a little bit. You're not getting good communication. And by the way, why does that happen? Why do suddenly people who have injury and trauma to their heads and their brainstem, particularly the back of the head, why does their heart start misfiring? Again, there's a nerve called the vagus nerve that comes off the brain. It's one of the cranial nerves that goes to these little nodes within the heart. They're called the SA nodes, or the sinoatrial nodes. That controls the rhythm of the heart. And so if that neurological flow isn't normalized, then the heart misfires. And when the heart misfires, now the lower chambers, or the upper chamber, the atrium misfires, then the lower chamber doesn't. I want you to remember that. We're going to come back after some very significant advertising that brings you Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday at 11 a.m. in the Eastern Seaboard. And those of you out the country, throughout the other areas, you know what time you're doing it. So, and thank you for listening online. And again, our salute, particularly this weekend, to our armed forces and those of you who are out and about and reach out to us. We'll do everything we can to get back to you. And Independence Day this year has taken on a very special meaning, I think, for all of us that, and I'm going to use the word, that are patriots of this country. So, having said that, you know, hang in there, everybody. Things will get better if we want them to get better and if we move forward together as a society. Having said that, let's get back to the program. We're here at 888-630-9625, and that's how you find us every Sunday. When you want to find us when we're not here, simply go to rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com. Or call the office, 703-698-7117, 698-7117, and ask one of the doctors to call you. They will. They'll get on the horn with you. You know, when we're talking about something as significant and serious as a central cord syndrome, you have to really understand that it can show up as a result of accident, minor injury, significant injury. Minor injuries usually over a period of time, they accumulate. The neurological system remembers it because you have these small traumas that produce significant scarring or swelling within the signaling components of the spinal cord of the nervous system. So you got to find out what you're dealing with and not just put on steroids and, you know, other anti-inflammatories and pain medication and so forth. Because what happens over time, it gets worse. It builds up over a period of time. And then pretty soon you find yourself in a situation where you don't have the flexibility, you don't have the strength, the arthritic changes, the degenerative disease begins to accumulate. But, you know, we started out talking about flexion and extension injury, and that's why flexion and extension x-rays are so important to help diagnose the stability of the spinal system. You know, you have MRIs and you have CAT scans. MRIs are basically used to look at, you know, the presence of compromise from either bone or disc or blood swelling. Things that other types of imaging might miss, and also damage to the ligament structure and soft tissue. CAT scans, basically what that is, by the way, is called a computerized axial tomography. That shows details of bone that other devices can't really show, and it's usually performed prior to MRI scanning, but in my book, I like MRIs because it shows that soft tissue that I want to take a look at. X-rays are important because that'll show positioning. And if the vertebrae are out of place, it'll show fractures, dislocations, as well as the angulation of the vertebrae, because sometimes a CAT scan MRI will not show that. An X-ray is more of a movement in who you are at that moment in time. So there are a lot of different reasons to do different types of things, but if you want to do an X-ray, you don't want to do it with a collar on. You want the body to be able to position itself as it normally is. You want a loss of the architectural structure of the vertebrae to show up. These types of conditions are ones that I want you to fully appreciate because they're slow. And unless you know you had a major injury, the stacking of things over a period of years ultimately leads you to the place where people tell you, well, what do you expect for your age? And that's what happens to the greatest majority of people. Well, it only happens to the greatest majority of people because we don't do anything about it early on. And if you do something proactively, if you realize that you are a structural, chemical, emotional platform that you have control over, that health is a do-it-yourself program, that you can make positive steps to eliminate things by movement and visualizing. We're in the world right now what we call epigenetics, which means that your body is a result of everything that's around you, including how you think of things. So if you put these pieces together and you begin to see yourself in a better place and you move towards doing things that are much more impactful for you, guess what happens? You get a better outcome and you don't end up with the slings and arrows of destruction that comes along with supposedly getting older. And by the way, getting older can start at age 30. You know, I had a young man tell me one time that was about 36, 37 years old. He said, "What do I expect for my age?" Really? Oh my gosh. Anyway, we're here every Sunday bringing you the most intimate applications of healthcare that you can do and take a hold of. And why do I do it? Simply for one reason, because I love you all. See you next week. Bye.